You know, I spoke last night on atonement, because this is the Day of Atonement, this is Yom Kippur. I spoke about atonement in general. I spoke about the way that we can make amends with God for the sins we've committed, right? The alchet, the sins we've committed all year long. Well, on Yom Kippur, there is an interesting and special and somewhat mysterious ritual that's done. And if you turn with me to Leviticus 16, we're going to go through that this morning. What we're going to talk about today is what's called the two goats. And we don't normally talk about goats. I mean, you heard goats were mentioned a little bit, but usually it's bulls and rams and those kind of animals that we'd bring as our sacrifices, that ancient Israel would bring as their sacrifices. But we need to understand that this was, and Leviticus 16 is one of the principal texts of Yom Kippur. So we need to understand what the significance is of these two goats and why Yom Kippur and what it all means. To begin with, let's go to the end of the chapter. So Leviticus 16:34. I'm going to start off with that, just that verse first. "And this shall be a statute forever to you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once a year because of all their sins. And Aaron did as the Lord commanded Moses." So this was a special thing on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, for atonement. And it was to be a lasting or a statute forever, a lasting ordinance, a statute forever, that meant for all eternity. This ritual involved two goats, and each of the goats was used for specific purposes, but there was one central theme, which was atonement, one central sin offering with these two goats. But the main theme, the one main theme, the singular theme, was atonement and remission of our sins. Now today we don't have the goats, we don't have the rams or the bulls for that matter, like we said. We don't have a functioning temple, yet we still have sin in our lives. We still have those sins that we need them to be cleansed. We need our sins to be atoned for. So this ritual of the two goats stopped when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. We don't do the ritual. And then in Judaism today, we have all these other rituals that we do to kind of substitute what's going on specifically with the second goat, which is what we're going to talk about, the scapegoat, one of the things we're going to talk about today. But God said it would be an everlasting statute. The symbolism behind it, the meaning behind it, the reason for it, it's got to be everlasting. So in Judaism, there is a problem today in rabbinic and traditional Judaism that we have. And religious Jews come face to face with that problem this year and every year for Yom Kippur. But it is a problem, I submit to you, that's solved for us. It's solved, and the two goats, the whole thing about the two goats is fulfilled through Yeshua the Messiah. We see that Yeshua fulfills all of the things that we've talked about before. He's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He's the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. He's all of those things. But he actually fulfills the purposes of both of the goats, and we're going to see that today. And he provides the ultimate atonement that we can have on this Yom Kippur and every day in Yeshua. Amen. Well, let's turn to Leviticus 16, verse 1. We're going to start off. The whole chapter is on Yom Kippur. It's on the Day of Atonement. And the whole chapter is concerning these two goats. We start off with Leviticus 16, 1 as a framework here. "The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they drew near before the Lord and died." Okay, so what happened was, Aaron, as we know, had four sons. The first two died back some time ago in this passage here. They died because of why? They brought fire before the Lord. They brought incense to the Lord, but they did it in what the Bible describes as a strange or unauthorized way. The way they came before the Lord was wrong. They attempted to go into the Holy of Holies, which is the innermost court, which is the only place that the high priest can go in, and once a year on Yom Kippur. So they went into this holy place. They offered the unauthorized fire at the wrong time. There's a couple of things that they did improperly. And what happened is they died. They died right away. And they were killed, and they had to be dragged out by their cousins. This was not being reverential before the Lord, approaching him casually. And that was the whole thing. So what does God say to Aaron? He says, after he mourns for his sons, there's a special way to approach me on Yom Kippur. you have to be consecrated. So we read in the first couple of verses here how Aaron had to be consecrated, the high priest, how he had to go through an immersion. He had to wash himself. And then he had to put on new garments. And then and only then could Aaron go into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And now we come to this whole idea of the two goats. So with that in mind, here comes Aaron. And now we get to Leviticus 16:5, and we start reading about these two goats. Leviticus 16:5. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. So Aaron took the ram and took care of the ram. We read that. But I want us to focus on the two goats. And the first point here today is the two goats, as we said, represented one sin offering to God. That's the overriding theme we need to understand. It wasn't two goats for two different things. These two goats had different purposes, but all tied to one sin offering, one atonement for God on Yom Kippur. To atone for sin, to atone for the accumulation of all the sins of all the people the entire year. And we come to these two goats on Yom Kippur. So let's continue with the text now. Leviticus 16:7 and 8. So Aaron continues, then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Verse 8, and Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for Azazel. So we see that the two goats had to be similar. In fact, they had to be identical, because we didn't know which goat was going to be selected for what purpose, for the Lord or for Azazel. Both of the goats had to be healthy, they had to be unblemished, and they had to be identical. And the first goat is designated for the Lord. So that's the next point this morning. That first goat, remember, the two goats, one sin offering, one sin atonement for the people's sins. But that first goat was to be an atoning sacrifice to the Father. So it had a very specific purpose. For the details of that, we turn down to verses 15 and 16 of Leviticus 16. Then he, Aaron, shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, that's the first goat, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Verse 16, then he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall do for the tent of meeting which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleanliness. So this first goat did a lot. This first goat was an atoning sacrifice to the Father, but there was a few different things that this particular goat symbolized, this first of the two sin offerings. We read in this passage that the goat is for the Lord, so it is an atoning sacrifice for the Lord, but it is for the people also, meaning it's an atonement, and this atonement is for the nation as a whole. This is national Israel getting atonement for their sins. But not only that, with the first goat, this goat's blood was sprinkled to make atonement for the things around the altar itself, the mercy seat. So not only is the goat for the Lord, the atoning sacrifice for the Lord, but it's for national Israel, and it's to make atonement for their uncleanliness all year. That's why God has to kind of wipe clean. He's got to clean up the altar. He's got to clean up the mercy seat because of all the sins from all the people all year long. So the blood of that goat cleansed the holy place, cleansed the altar, cleansed the mercy seat, because that sin that was there on those things, so to speak, spiritually and symbolically, that sin of the people was keeping a veil between them and God, was separating them between them and the Holy One of Israel. Turn with me to Exodus 25, verse 22. Now, this is important. We don't really have time to go through all the elements that were in the tabernacle and in the temple. But one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, was inside the Holy of Holies. You had the Ark of the Covenant right there. The Ark of the Covenant. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there was what was called the mercy seat. That was the lid, right? If you've ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, that was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, right? So on the lid, the mercy seat, were two cherubim facing each other with the wings. And all of that was constructed, and we read in Exodus 25, 22 this about the mercy seat. There, at that place, there I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in command of the people of Israel. So this is the place. This is the one place, right? This had to be a holy place, free from sin, cleansed, so that God could come down, so that God could dwell with man. Because God can't fellowship with sin. His Shekhinah, his divine presence, came down between the cherubim on top of that mercy seat, on top of the ark, and he would meet there with Aaron in the most holy place on Yom Kippur. Why was all this done? Well, all this was done because of sin, as I said, because sin separates us from God. And God's ultimate purpose was not to have us separated from him. Turn to Leviticus 11, 45. God's ultimate purpose for Israel, and we should also say for the entire world, which is still yet to occur, is reconciliation, is fellowship, is togetherness, is relationship. And we read what God's ultimate desire is for us and really what these two goats are doing for Israel. Leviticus 11:45. For I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be there. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. It's not enough that God is just holy and he's this faraway God and okay, we can look at him and acknowledge that he's holy. No, we're to go to God. We're to be holy as he's holy. This is what God wants for us. And therefore, this first goat facilitated that. It allowed Aaron to go in. It allowed Aaron to be in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord would come down and convene and commune with Aaron. And really, when Aaron went in there, we don't even have time to talk about this. You know, he had that breast piece on with the jewels of all the 12 tribes of Israel, symbolically having all of the people with him. He couldn't take all the people with him into the Holy of Holies because only Aaron could come. But he could represent the entire people. He could bring forth the nation and they could commune with God in that way. And that was the significance, all that with the first goat. Now let's turn to the second goat. Leviticus 16, back to Leviticus 16. Let's go to verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. So this goat is a little bit more mysterious and a little bit more weird, and we don't really understand, you know, what is all this Azazel stuff. There's a couple of explanations that are given with commentators about what the name Azazel really means. Many scholars believe Azazel, the word, comes from the Hebrew word azal. And the word azal in Hebrew is translated to mean to go away or to banish. So that sounds very plausible. Many Jewish commentators think Azazel is actually a physical location, a geographical spot within Israel or outside of Israel that the goat was sent to historically. And many think that this goat is some sort of concession to the devil, or that Azazel refers to some demon. So there's all this speculation of what Azazel means, but rather than speculate about what it means, and some of those sound like plausible things, but if we go back to the text and we read what the purpose of the goat for Azazel was, that's the key here. Leviticus 16, 21 and 22. This is the purpose of that second goat. And Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all of the iniquities of the people of Israel and all of their transgressions, all of their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. Verse 22, the goat shall bear all the iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat free in the wilderness. So the next point this morning is the second goat, the function, the purpose of the second goat is to carry away the sins of the people, different than the first goat. This particular goat stays alive and carries away the sins of the people. There's a lot of symbolism here. Aaron, who represents the people, remember he's got the breastplate on, he's going into the Holy of Holies, He also then takes both of his hands, representing the people, and he places his hands on the head of the goat. And he confesses all of the sins of the people of Israel. And then the goat is sent out alive, taking and bearing all of those sins away from the camp to go out into the wilderness, never to be seen from again. Now, when we read these things, and we know that we just went through Rosh Hashanah, and we just had that Tashlik service, it's kind of similar to some of our verses in the book of Micah, which also happen to be the Haftarah readings for this afternoon, for the Yizkor, for Yom Kippur. And that is Micah 7, 18 and 19. So turn with me to Micah 7. It's the last chapter of the book, all the way to the end, verses 18 and 19. You know, in Tashlik, we go to a body of water, and we throw the bread or the stones into the water. And we get that whole concept from Micah 7, 18 and 19. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So just like with Tashlik in the book of Micah, where we throw those breadcrumbs into the sea, symbolically saying, God, you're throwing our sins away, never to be seen again. It's the same way with this scapegoat, this goat for Azazel. We put all of the sins symbolically on the head of that goat, send that goat away alive, and that goat goes way away into the wilderness, somewhere never to be seen again, which is representative of our sins, never to be seen again. What a beautiful picture. And so we look at these two goats, and we put it all together on Yom Kippur, and we see, as I said, these two goats represent one sin offering. They deal with our sin in different ways. The first goat connects us back to the Lord. The second goat deals with our sins and takes our sins away. But they all have one central purpose. And we don't have animal sacrifices anymore. We don't have goats anymore, as I mentioned. We don't have a temple. But Jewish people all over the world, they go to synagogue and they pray for their sins to be forgiven. They confess. They repent. They ask other people to forgive them if they've done something wrong to them. There is a lot of introspection and looking at our lives in an honest way. What did we do this year? Lord, please take away our sins. And there's various ways that Jewish people today do this. We try to be good people. We try to do a lot of charity, a lot of good deeds, and all those things are wonderful. But we try to have the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, you know, the whole idea with the book of life and being written into the book of life. But Jewish people are wondering, are their names written in the book of life for this coming year? Do they have their sins forgiven, as God says? Without the goats, without the temple, without the means of sacrifice. And we have religious Jews today. They will go to places and they will symbolically do the Azazel ritual. They will take a rooster or a hen or a chicken, right? And they will slaughter that animal. And they will swing the chicken around, sprinkling the blood, symbolically representing the goats, specifically the Azazel scapegoat. And they say as they do it, may our sins be transferred to this animal. Just like Aaron did that, transferring the sins of national Israel and the sins of each and every person to that goat to be sent away. So our people are striving to have our sins, their sins forgiven on Yom Kippur. But really, when we look at the text and we look at the fulfillment, we look at the prophecy that occurs throughout the Bible, we're left with one conclusion. Is that ultimately the fulfillment of these two goats, now that we don't have a temple, is found in Yeshua, is found in the Messiah. Only Yeshua can take both of the goats. He represents what both of the goats do as one sin offering for the people. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. And as I said before, Yeshua does a lot of things. Yeshua is the sacrifice. Yeshua is the great high priest. We read about all these things in the book of Hebrews. And then also in Hebrews 9, 12, we read, He, Yeshua, entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Yeshua is the fulfillment of that first goat. He goes into the Holy of Holies. He pleads on our behalf with the Father. He goes in as the high priest. He also goes in as the goat whose blood is sprinkled on the altar, who takes national Israel's sins in and who connects us back, redeems us to the Father. But wait, there's more. He's also the second goat too. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. If that wasn't enough, one man, Yeshua, the Messiah, fulfills both of the goats. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So he bore all of our sins. All of our sins were symbolically transferred. Just as Aaron transferred the sins on that live goat, sent it away, all of our sins at the end of Yeshua's life on that tree, on that cross, were symbolically transferred, spiritually speaking, to Yeshua. He takes on our sins. He takes them away, never to be seen again. We have to understand that atonement has been given to us through Yeshua as the fulfillment of the second goat. And so we have this beautiful picture, this wonderful fulfillment. Yeshua is the sin offering to the Father, the first goat. Yeshua bore our sins, the second goat. And on this Yom Kippur, you and I can have that peace. And those watching on the live stream, our Jewish people everywhere, we can know for certain. We don't have to worry. We don't have to stress out about it. We don't have to wonder if our sins outweighed our good deeds or the other way around. And, oh, I better, you know, tip the scales a little bit. And I better, you know, make sure I get all those prayers. And yes, all those prayers are good. But atonement happens by looking at Yeshua and looking to Yeshua as the fulfillment of the two goats. On Yom Kippur, you and I can have that assurance. We can have that peace. We can have that shalom. So Yom Kippur doesn't have to be this solemn time where we just kind of really stress out and wonder. Yom Kippur can be a solemn time where we remember our sins, and then we remember that Yeshua cast them all away and that Yeshua connects us to the Father. And we can have a meaningful, personal relationship, and we can be holy as he is holy. That's what he wants for us. That's what he's always wanted for us. And that's what he wants for his people and for all of the world today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because you give us the picture. We don't have to worry about how it's done. We don't have to wonder about how atonement is made. On Yom Kippur, you gave the two goats and all the symbolism with that. You gave two goats, one sin offering. And Lord, you came 2,000 years ago and you gave one sin offering to represent both goats. Yeshua, you connect us with the Father. You also take away our sins. What a beautiful picture. And Lord, we know and we can stand before you today knowing that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Yeshua. There is no other way. We thank you, Lord God, that you didn't stop when the temple was destroyed, that you didn't forget about us, but that you fulfilled your promises. You brought us Messiah, Yeshua. And in him, we can be redeemed. We can be forgiven of our sins. And Lord, that we can be holy as you are holy. And we can have a personal relationship together with you. We thank you, God. We praise you. And we just give you all the praise, glory, and honor today and every day. In Yeshua's name, amen. Let's just stand.